With that said, alhamdulillah, sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Hey, wallah, we don't know where to begin. Allahu musta'an. But more or less, the Shaykh hafizahullah was dealing with, again, and more importantly, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. He first mentioned the following. We are living during times where the media has such an effect, where the standards have changed. The standards have changed. Things are no longer the same. There's something that used to be considered, which in English will be butula, I hope it is heroism. Not heroin. Heroism from the word hero. Batal. Heroism. This is the word that the Shaykh said has become, the standards have changed. And he gave us an example of the past, of what heroism used to be about, and what we currently have from heroism. And he gave the example of the Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in the beginning was an unbeliever. He did not believe. He knew in his heart that this was the truth, but he did not translate it into reality or action. And Hamza, he was given the title of Asadullah wa Rasuluh, the lion of Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the lion, the animal, the fearful animal that will chop you into shreds quickly. Hamza radiallahu anhu, although he didn't embrace Islam in the beginning, he went about doing his usual business. He used to go hunting. He used to go hunting and he would take his bow and arrow. And then when he would come back, he would go to Kaaba, do tawaf. The funny thing is that the kuffar, the disbelievers, used to do tawaf. But usually they would do it naked. They would go around Kaaba naked and they will clap and whistle. This is why a lot of the scholars say it is prohibited to clap, because this is what the disbelievers used to do as an act of worship around Kaaba. But we're not going to go there right now. That's why we say Allahu Akbar and say. Anyways, this was his usual routine, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. So one time, after he went hunting, he came back about to do the tawaf. A young woman came to him and she seemed to be disturbed. And she was telling him what has happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know Abu Jahl, they used to call him Abu al-Hakam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu al-Hakam meaning the one of the father of ruling, because supposedly he was a hakim, he was wise. He was really one of the most ignorant people on earth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his name to Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance, because he was an ignorant individual who used to harm the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to often verbally harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, curse him, call him things, or even physically. They would hurt him if he was praying near the Kaaba. They would come and hurt him and harm him. One time they got the leftovers of what comes out of the camel after it delivers, and they put it on the head of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Fatima came and took it off of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyways, so this man Abu Jahl used to be very evil to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that girl told Abu Hamza that the Prophet ﷺ has been insulted. And Hamza used to be known for being a strong brother. You know, he was a strong man. People didn't fool around with him too much. Alaykum salam. So upon hearing this, he got angry, he kept his cool, and he walked over towards Abu Jahl, who was sitting in the middle of a circle. Him and his evil companions. He was standing in the middle of them, preaching them or speaking to them or whatever he was doing. So Hamza came in, and with the firm, the way the Shaykh was describing it, you could almost visualize it in your mind, right? You could see it like a movie, like motion. And with firm steps, he moved toward him, he picked up his bow, bang! You know, one of these old school times. Knocked him out. Started beating Abu Jahl. He said, "You curse the Messenger of Allah and I'm upon his religion. and I say what he says, this was actually the time when he entered into Islam. He was a non-Muslim, but he knew it was the truth. At one point, Allah blessed him that he got fed up with it. He got fed up with lying and fed up with pretending that they know him. They know the Messenger of Allah, man. He used to live with them. They know him as being the trustworthy, the honest person. He wasn't no liar, no fabricator, no imposter. He was the real deal. They knew he was the Messenger of Allah. It was only arrogance, and we found our forefathers on something that made him reject him. So Abu Hamza radiallahu anhu was fed up with this. So he came and told Abu Jahl that you curse the Messenger of Allah, and I'm upon his religion, and I say what he says. All the gathering was shocked. They were shocked that he embraced Islam more than they were shocked that he beat up Abu Jahl. Anyways, back then, and the Muslims at that time were happy, because the Muslims in the beginning were oppressed. Those who embraced Islam in Mecca, the Meccans, and you know, these people in charge, they were very violent, and they would harm the Muslims. Whenever they knew somebody embraced Islam, they wouldn't just say, Wallah, congratulations. They would do anything possible to harm him and make him go back, leave alone the religion again. So when, alaykum salam, in or out? Alaykum salam, in or out? In, come on in. Come out. Khalas. Yeah, Shaykh, I'm coming searching for people during the khutbah translation. Alaykum salam, ahlan wa sahlan. Tayyib. So the Muslims felt happy that now they feel that someone, because he was known, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was known among the Quraysh of being, yani, of authority. So the Muslims felt happy that someone is there supporting them. And the same thing happened with Umar Rabbil Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he embraced Islam. Also the Muslims were given strength. You know, when the people, a president, people in charge entered into Islam, this is not the same as the common folks, because these people have effect and influence and people obey them. طيب. So anyways, the bottom line of this issue, why was he mentioned? Why was Hamza radiallahu anhu mentioned? Because of when we speak about heroism, heroes, this is a standard and example of heroes. The first thing he did was defend the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As soon as he became a Muslim at that moment, he said, you curse the Messenger of Allah, and he beat up Abu Jahl. Why? Defending the honor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when a person becomes a Muslim, then he carries with him the honor of this deen, and caring of this deen, and the victory of this deen. It's not just a picnic. There's something that you care for, you love. He said, this is heroism back then. Nowadays, the standards have changed. Nowadays, because of this dish and the satellite TV, we have a new concept of heroes. A hero is either a soccer player, football, or some loser, singer, or some lousy actress or actor. That's to say, batal al-film, the hero of the movie is Rambo, or whatever, Sylvester Stallone. And the hero of this song is whatever, some lousy singer, who all they speak about is sex and forbidden things and disobeying Allah. What are they talking about? And what is their bottom line? They're a bunch of no ones talking about nothing but evil things. But today, these are considered the leaders of the community. These are the heroes, these are the people that the people feel proud of. And they said that these believers knew this. They knew how to destroy Islam. So the way they do it is by making a separation between the righteous predecessors and the current ummah. Where we will no longer refer to these heroes, these true heroes of Islam. Rather we refer to, Wallah, Saudi won the World Cup. So we're up for the Saudis, or for the Philippines, something along these lines. But anyways, for the Muslim, it's no longer the history we had. It's about either some singer or actor or some football player. This is what the people are proud of and referring to and attributing to them. Oh, Allah, he's from my country. This hero is from this. But although these people are nothing, in reality, these people are nothing. They're not even worth looking up to. Unless they're upon the deen of Allah and they're calling people to Allah, say Alhamdulillah, but when did you ever see an actor or an actress or a singer and come and invite you to Allah? What are they singing about? This dude and that girl and, you know, getting high and getting drunk, this is their life. This is all that they are concerned about. So this is what they deliver to the people. طيب. This is the first portion of the khutbah. This was an introduction, Allahu A'lam, as I understood from the Shaykh, to the reality of the discussion.
Of course, all this, Ya Akhwan, revolves around the cartoon that was drawn in which they belittled and mocked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by these lousy Danish low-life people. What happened was, before they drew this cartoon showing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a terrorist and with bombs and what have you, which is crazy enough. But not only that, when the Muslims يعني, basically cut off their products, they boycotted their products, they no longer use Danish things. All this Nurfak butter and some milk that they make, Nido, and all these are Kinder chocolate, all products of Danish. Sama'at Salama. Some of the Muslims here took them out of their store and they just found a replacement. So these people went back because they were losing business, because they're all about the dunya. All they care about is the world. They don't care about the hereafter. Now, they found supposedly some three Muslims who were plotting to kill the one who drew the cartoon. His name was Kurt. Because of that, the media over there used it as an excuse to republish the same cartoon, this time not with one magazine, but with 17. So 17 magazines and newspapers in Denmark reprinted the images, the early images which were first once. Now 17 of them reprinted them as an excuse because of these supposedly Muslims that they caught who were trying to kill him. So then they used it as an excuse to insult the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam another time. And this is something that we need to be mindful of. This will teach us, in case you don't know, that the non-Muslims, no matter how much they pretend outwardly to be okay with you, in reality they're never okay with you. They never really honor or respect a Muslim. They never really honor or respect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had they done so, then they would have become among his followers. But the reality is that they say something and what their hearts contain is something else. And this is the biggest evidence, that they use this as an excuse to reprint them 17 times. Now, what is our position regarding that? Our position regarding that is that we do not accept anyone that who will offend the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. Verily we have protected you. We are taking care of anyone who mocks you. So rest assured, anyone who mocks the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not remain around for a long time, A. B, if they do remain, they will live a miserable life. As it is the case with this guy, Kurt, who drew the cartoon. I was reading on CNN news, on the internet, some of his statements and the life he is currently living. His life is busted. He has security guards and bodyguards and everything everywhere he goes. He cannot sleep like a normal person. He cannot ride his car like a normal person. He cannot live his life like a normal person anymore. Why? This is the early punishment. This life of misery. You know this, can you imagine yourself how you'll be afraid that you may pick up the soup and a bomb will be in your soup. Because people are planning to kill this guy. You best believe that people are trying to really take him out. So now his life is really, he's scared. He can't do nothing anymore. This is the soon, this is the quick one. What Allah has for him in the Day of Judgment is much worse for those who mock the Messenger of Allah. Why? Because mocking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not like mocking anyone. The same way now, if you mock an employee, it's not like mocking the boss. And if you mock the boss of a company, it's not like mocking the president of a country. What happened if you mock the president of a country? Sooner or later they will take you. Sooner or later they will come and take you, ma'as salama. They will not let you remain if you mock the president. Why? Because people have virtue. The higher your position, the more dangerous it is to mess with. We don't know anyone more honorable than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you insult him, you are insulting automatically Allah, because Allah chose him as his messenger. You are insulting the other messengers because they confirmed him and they came to give us the news about him. You are insulting every believer upon earth and all those who follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning you have gotten the most valuable things on earth and you are insulting them directly. Your crime is not like the crime of anyone else. So this is why it is not permissible, and this is a dangerous position for someone to mock the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is the greatest kind of mockery. Because you are mocking the Messenger of Allah, Allah's chosen prophet, as a final and seed. No one will come after him, and Allah will take the revenge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will see, as I'm speaking to you right now, sooner or later you will hear and you will know what will happen to these people. Actually, the Muslims in early times, whenever the Prophet ﷺ would be mocked, they will know that the victory is coming soon for the Muslims. Whenever the people would mock the Messenger of Allah, meaning this is it, this the people are reaching their limit. Allah is allowing them to go until they once they start playing with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, meaning sooner or later, bye-bye. Sooner or later they will be wiped off. Somehow, some way. Why? Because Allah will establish His deen on earth. This religion will be established on earth. Whether the disbelievers like it or they dislike it. This is not a matter of their opinion. They disbelieve in Allah, they don't deserve no goodness to begin with. This is for us to have the clear picture. Now he mentioned some incidents that happened before, where some priest went to preach people from Mongolia. And he was embracing Christianity, and he was embracing Christianity publicly in front of the people. While the qassis, the priest, was given his talk, there was a dog that was tied to a tree. When the priest started speaking, the dog jumped from his place. He released himself and he jumped on this man, the priest. So everybody came and removed the dog off of him. Huh? They said, one of them said, maybe this dog is attacked because he started cursing the Messenger of Allah. This priest got on the minbar, got on his place, on the stadium, and he started insulting the Prophet and Islam. So the dog attacked him. So one man told him, maybe the dog attacked you because you're speaking about their messenger, because you're speaking about this man, meaning Muhammad. He said, no, probably it's because I was moving my hand and he thought that I was going to beat him. Tie him up again, but this time tie him better. So they went and tied the dog again better. He went back doing the same thing they did. The dog somehow again released himself from his chain, and he jumped on this man. He bit him in his neck, and they were not able to take him off until this person had already passed away. At that time, they say this was narrated by Ibn Hajar al Asqalani in his book Al Durar, as the Shaykh mentioned. 40,000 Mongolians embraced Islam at that particular moment. Because even the dog, even the animals were taking revenge and protecting the honor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, if the animals are doing so, and the human and the jamad, the things, anything are doing so, what about me and you? What about me and you? Where are we from protecting and honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The first thing we should do is follow his way of life, because we may not have the ability to do many things. But the first thing we should do to defend his religion is to implement his sunnah. Live according to his way sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn it, implement it. Then, among the things we could do is boycott the Danish products. Boycott anything that comes from them. Because once, believe it or not, they make billions of dollars from us, from Muslims. When you cut them off, this will affect them. And this will strengthen the Muslims so they will know that they are in need. Of course, this is among the means. This is not the solution. This is not the solution. The solution is that we go back into implementing the religion of Islam until Allah Azza wa Jal honors the Muslims the way they were honored in the early generations when they honored the religion of Allah. When they honored the Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal honored the Muslims. Until we go back to the stage, the situation will be like that. But Alhamdulillah, even when they mocked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more people entered into Islam because they try to investigate his biography. Say, what is this man anyways that the people are mocking? They find out nothing but goodness about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As it was clearly declared by Michael Hart and some of these other writers, British writers and other writers, who said it clearly. Look man, there's no one. The number one man, most effective person, most influential person on earth was Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Michael Hart said that, and he was a non-Muslim, alaykum salam, if he was to take control of this earth, of this world right now, he will solve all the problems of the world in no time. He said some evil people called him Antichrist, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who was against Christianity. He said he is the savior. He is the savior of humanity. He is not the enemy of Christianity. He is the savior of humanity. Because he took the people from what they have innovated in the teachings of Jesus Christ into what Allah Azza wa Jalla had commanded them to begin with, to worship Allah alone and follow his prophets and the messengers. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Who's the one who told us to believe in Jesus? Is it from the Bible that the Muslims had? You may have had the Bible before. But those who were born into Islam, where do they know Jesus from? From the Quran. What did they learn about believing in Mary and Jesus and the Immaculate Conception and the fact that Jesus was risen to the heavens and that He spoke at birth? Where do we have this information from? From the Quran and the Sunnah. Who brought the Quran and the Sunnah? The Prophet ﷺ, from Allah. So this is his position. He came to save humanity. So we honor him alayhi salatu wasalam, and we feel jealous for his honor and for his because offending him is offending us and offending our intellect. Basically, they're saying, if you are following a terrorist, meaning you are an idiot and you are a terrorist yourself. Yani basically insulting every Muslim on earth who has accepted Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the seal of all prophets and as the messenger of Allah. And none of us will agree that somebody will insult your father or insult your mother or insult anyone that is related to you. And no one is closer to us and more valuable to us than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you don't allow someone to insult your father, you should not allow anyone to insult Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he is more beloved to us than our family members. Because he's the one who told us about paradise and the way to make it there. Our parents may have told us and may have taught us the opposite. They may have told us the way of deviance, but the Prophet ﷺ gave us the way of success. This is more or less what the khutbah was about, with some additions and deletions as usual. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, walhamdulillah wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiya Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam aslima kathira. I think they have a class right now. Wa alaykum as-salam.